John chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 John 1, 4. The Bible says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Some Christians are facing situations in their lives like the man that is described in Proverbs 14, 13, which says, "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." So some people, even if things are going well, they're still burdened down and maybe a little discouraged. Am I too loud? Seems like I'm ringing, but that may just be up here. Some smile or they laugh occasionally on the outside, but inside they are hurting. They're hurting very badly. The Bible says that even Jesus was given to sorrow in Matthew 26:38. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." We read about Spurgeon, the great pulpiteer, and we read about him preaching in London in the 1800s. And he was given, if you read about him much, you'll find out that he was given to depths of depression. He would preach his heart out, and he would go back over to France and take time off because of health. But also he would have bouts of depression that he said, "I wouldn't wish on anyone." This is possible for a preacher like him. It is possible for Christians, and I don't want to project that on you, but it is possible for Christians to get discouraged, melancholic, kind of sorrowful, if you will. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's a discouraged spirit that can dominate us until it seems that we forgot what it was to experience real joy. There is, after all, real joy in serving Jesus. But sometimes we get into a zone in our living where that joy is not evident. Paul described a state that we can come to, however, where we are in 2 Corinthians 6:10, the first half of the verse, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. We can get to where the melancholy may hit us, but we are able to fight through the melancholy and the discouragement in order to experience the true joy of the Lord in our lives. Every one of us naturally faces sorrow and heavy-hearted times, discouraging times, times when the joy is not our tendency. You following me? When the joy is not our tendency, and yet our text says that God wants our joy to be full. 1 John 1:4, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." God's intent is that we may be joyful, and not just joyful, but full of joy. We're going to look at a number of scriptures tonight. I'm going to prove that to you. This evening, we want to re-examine joy and what the Bible says will bring us joy. Oh, we had steak tonight. That was good, brother. Amen. I had pork. He had steak, but I could have. But I love to eat, but it's not the eating that brings us joy. Amen. I like to spend money. Amen. Go on a shopping spree. That's fun. But I found out that that doesn't satisfy. In fact, one year we got our income tax back when we were first married. And we went out and got some things. And we went on a shopping spree. And then Shirley and I came home. And we said, "You know what? That doesn't really bring us joy." And she sat down and wrote a song that we sang. We've sung a number of places about that. And so we want to draw tonight some conclusions as to why we live without joy. We don't have to. Why do we do this? And how can we overcome the bondage of a heavy spirit? How can we overcome that? Before we do, let's define what biblical joy is. Joy is an overflowing gladness that we can't naturally account for. We don't conjure it up. We don't work it up. It's not like that. We can't explain it except that we are right with God and He has supernaturally blessed us with it. God gives us the joy. Are you with me? God gives us the joy that we have. And so joy is not a mere emotion. That would be happiness. But joy is based on facts that we realize are true. And we focus on those facts. We do not focus on our situations that we're facing, and sometimes we have lousy situations that we're facing, but we don't focus on those. We focus on the facts of Scripture. We don't focus on how we feel and our feelings, because feelings are deceptive, and we'll become more and more melancholic if we do that. We focus on the facts that we know from the Bible. It's based on participation in the privileges extended only to believers in Jesus Christ. Then how do I experience joy? What can make me joyful again? I'm going to pray, and then we want to make a list of the ways that God said will bring joy in our life. How about that? Will that be good tonight? All right, now let's bow for prayer. In Christ's name, we come to you tonight, Heavenly Father. And Lord, you have outlined for us how to be joyful. And I pray that you, when we see this, that we will be willing to do what you said to do to be joyful. Stir our hearts afresh as we see the Scriptures tonight. And by your Spirit, do a work. If there's one here tonight that has never professed you, never come to you, never humbled themselves and asked you to forgive their sins and save their soul, Lord, I pray tonight that they would do that, that they would come to you and receive Christ as Savior and leave here knowing you. Oh, I remember when I did that, and I felt like I was floating on air. I knew that my name was written in heaven for the first time in my life. I thought, wow, everything is fresh and new. And I pray that that would happen for someone here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's make that list of the ways that God says we can be joyful. First, we become joyful when we realize that, number one, we are saved and we realize all that salvation means. Go with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Boy, this is fun, isn't it? God's people getting together to see what God has to say to them. I love this. It says in Romans 5 and verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? By whom we have now received the atonement. What's the atonement? That word means covering for our sins. We have received the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our sins. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sins. We could not have our sins taken away without Christ having shed his blood. And so we are saved. And he said, we also joy in God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who made this all possible. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul calls it the joy of faith. In chapter 1 and verse 25, this is the joy of faith in Christ. Think of this. you and I deserve to go to hell according to the economy that God laid out in the Bible. We deserve to burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever because of our sin against God. That's what we deserve. But no matter how bad this life becomes, you will never have to spend 1 second in a burning hell if you know Jesus Christ. If your loved ones know Christ, you will see them again one day in heaven. They will never have to go to hell, no matter how bad this life gets. In fact, we need to take time to remember the joy that we experienced when we first received the word of the gospel. I told you I got saved at camp in Michigan. And when we got done, we went out on the dirt trail from the tabernacle back up to the cabins. And I'm walking and I'm thinking to myself, what did I just do? I got all my sins washed away. Why, I was a rascal even at age 8. But I got all my sins washed away. And just the delight of what that was then, joy of faith. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20, if you go over there, please. Somebody will probably have to refill my water here, or I won't make it through the whole sermon without really making it tough to listen. In Matthew 13 and verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with what? With joy receiveth it. Don't let anyone steal the joy of your salvation. He received the word and got joy immediately. He didn't have a very good ending. We can read on, but he started out good with that joy. Remember the day that you got saved? Well, Naomi can remember. It was just last night. Isn't that right, Naomi? Consider, again, the pure joy that only comes from knowing Christ as your Savior. Nothing else can do for me what knowing Christ has done for me. I now have an elder brother, Jesus Christ. I'm adopted into a family. I have a heavenly father, amen. Elder brother, I have the angels that guard us around about. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, I travel. I have them in cities all over. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Boy, it's wonderful to be saved. When you see an impossible... wait a minute. No, I want to say this first. I wonder if you're here tonight and you're here without Christ. You have not received Christ as your Savior. You've never received Him by faith. By the way, you have to receive Him by faith. You can't, not by works, not by sight, but by faith you receive Him. And so if you believed in Buddha, you believe in Buddha by faith. That wouldn't be a very good deal. If you believe Muhammad, you believe in Muhammad by faith. That wouldn't be a very good deal. But Jesus Christ, see, Buddha is dead, stayed dead. Muhammad, he's dead, stayed dead. Jesus, dead, but he arose the third day. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Honor to God. And so we have to have faith in him. Why don't you come to Christ tonight? Thank you, Brother Levi. I appreciate that. He even pointed it so I don't spill it on myself. Amen. Why don't you come to Christ tonight? What's the holdup? I mean, pride and all the things that we hold that hold us back. Dear friend, you'll never regret coming to Jesus Christ. You never will. If you haven't received him, do it tonight. Secondly, we are full of joy when we're learning ways to be full of joy. Because we're going to be melancholic somewhere along the line, and we're going to be tempted to be discouraged. Isn't that right? We know that from life, don't we? All right. Now, how do we find joy? First of all, remember your salvation and what you have, what it means. Secondly, we are full of joy when we are learning God's word. We are full of joy as we learn God's word. John chapter 15 and verse 11. Go there with me. John chapter 15 and verse 11. John's writing by the power of the Holy Spirit, inspiration. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, Christ says, and that your joy might be full. He's writing these things. He's spoken them, and then they were recorded. But he says, I've spoken this so that my joy, that's Christ's joy, might be in you, and that your joy might be full. Boy, that's what we need. I mean, folks are going to come in this church, and if they come in, and everybody is like this, boy, I had to eat sour apples today. I mean, all of life is like that. And if they come in the church and nobody's got a smile on their face, and everybody just comes in, takes their own seat, never shakes their hand, never greets them, what do you think they're going to think? But how would it be if we were right with God, walking with God, and we were learning his word, and we were full of joy? Now what? They come in, we're full of joy, they see the joy in us, they compare that to their life that doesn't have joy, and say, I want what those people at Vision Baptist Church have. I've got to have that. Isn't that much better? Now, this is how we have fullness of joy. The Bible was spoken and written for us to learn so that our joy might be full. It is any wonder that some remain in the doldrums? The only word of God that some Christians ever get is what the preacher says on Sundays. That's all they have. They don't open the Bible. They don't crack the Bible all week long. Too many. I hope you're not like that, because it's a source of joy. Oh my, God made the word a source of joy. Therefore, I challenge everyone under the sound of my voice, you need to be opening the Bible. He made it so we can understand the Bible. So open it for yourself and get the joy he intends for you to have. God invites us to study his word. I wonder how you're doing about that, Christian. Are you deriving the fullness of joy from the Bible study that God promised he'd give you if you did it? Oh my, you ought to. Folks, restructure your life to make time for the study of God's word. And God says it will bring us joy if we'll do it. Number three, not only our salvation, not only the learning of the Bible brings us joy, but also joy comes from praying and seeing our prayers answered. That's right. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4 now, Philippians 1, 4. By the way, there was another verse on that last one if you want to squeeze it in your notes. 1 John 1, 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Another verse. We are writing this Bible to you so you can be full of joy. All right, now, Philippians 1, 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now, in that verse, he's asking with joy as he asks. We ought to be asking with joy, because there's an anticipation when you pray that God will answer your prayer. And you've got to think like this. What happens if God answers this prayer? Man, oh man, this is going to be fantastic. Just imagine God answering this prayer and you pray it with joy. in John chapter 16 and verse 24. John 16, 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Why? What's going to happen when you ask in his name? That your joy may be, there it is again, full. He wants our joy to be full. When we're melancholic and depressed or discouraged or whatever, we need to remember what the scripture says will bring us the joy again. Get in the book. Remember your salvation and what it means. You're not going to hell, and let it effervesce inside you. Just think about that for a little bit. And then pray and seek God about something and think about how God can answer this prayer, and it'll turn everything around. Oh my, that'd be wonderful. In John 16, 24, that your joy may be full. What a blessing it is to unload those requests that no one can address except God. I get all kinds of requests. Some of them are so hurt, so burdensome. Shirley and I throw up our hands and say, wow, that person has a boatload of problems. I don't even know where to begin. And we both say to each other, prayer, almost say it at the same time, prayer. Why? Because God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, and he will. God can do anything but fail. Amen. Oh, yes. When you see an impossible need, you should take that need to prayer. If it is a super important need to you, you have a tool in your tool chest that God has allowed to be there that you ought to tap into, and that's prayer and fasting. And the Bible says this kind, talking about demons, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You run into the hard cases, pray and fast. God honors it. I could tell you stories, haven't got time to tonight. This is just one point. 1 month along the road, I tried to pay our bills. First year we're out in evangelism. We've given up the salary that I had at the church. We're living by faith, and God's met our need every month. But it came to August, and I shared this with your pastor back when he was in Maryland. We were almost, I think a little over, $1,000 short for 1 month of paying our bills. We'd had two cancellations and a lot of expenses and not very good offerings that summer. And so we were kind of scratching our head. What's going on? Man, $1,000 in 1 month. We do that for 12 months, and the devil just gets you to multiply the problem, won't he? But we didn't dwell on that for very long. Shirley and I, before we went to bed that night, knelt down together, and we asked God, God, we didn't foresee this $1,000 shortage, but you did, and we're asking you to answer our prayer and bring in the finance. Take care of it, Lord. We want to leave it at your feet, and we'll get on with the ministry, and you take care of us, and we believe you to do it. Amen. A preacher called and said, you know, you were just at our church. I said, yes, I know. He said, I don't know how to say this, but the offering that we gave you was totally insufficient, and the Lord has prompted me about that, and we're sending you an extra $500. Where are you going to be in the next week? And I gave him the address, and he said, make sure you go to that post office and get my letter, and it will explain it more fully. And he had a whole letter how God had worked on him, and he sent us an extra $500. Amen. That's a partial answer to prayer. I got a phone call from New Mexico, from the church we just came from, and I don't know them, never knew them. I got the meeting because of this phone call. They were having a ladies' conference, and they wanted to give away the dress book to every lady in the conference. And so they wanted to call to see if they could order 225 dress books. Woohoo! Glory to God. Amen. I'm pretty excited about this, Lord. What are you going to do? A college called me from outside Chicago, and they said, we want to place an order for, I think it was 10 or 15 of every one of Shirley's Women of the Bible books. And it was a nice order, nice size order, several hundred dollars. And I rejoiced in that. A missionary called me from Russia, Deckers, who you know here, and he was from Iowa. I had a cancellation in Iowa, and he said, I called and made arrangements for you at a church to have a meeting on your way home. And we were back on the road, brother. I mean, God more than answered our prayer. And he said, fullness of joy, he took care of the whole thing. Could I meddle for just a minute? Preachers like to do that, you know. Are you really praying? Are you really praying and interceding for others? Are you praying for your own needs? Or do you leave all the praying to others? Let everybody else do it. If you do, you're shortchanging the joy. The joy for you, God says, comes through prayer. You pray, believe God, see God answer, and there is fullness of joy from seeing God answer our prayers. In Ogden, Utah, we got word that Will Burrell, that's a fella back in Pennsylvania, that Will Burrell had received Christ. My son called me and said, you're never going to believe this, but Will Burrell came to church and received Christ as Savior. We visited him Saturday. He came Sunday and got saved. Subsequently, both his sons got saved. Amen. That's how it ought to work, isn't it? But the story behind it is that Shirley and I had witnessed to Will 20 years before that. We have prayed for Will. And fullness of joy comes through prayer. When I heard that Will Burrell got saved, I walked into that church in Ogden and I told them the story about Will. And we all rejoiced, bubbling with joy because another name was written in heaven. Fullness of joy. Turn with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Just want to share some things that'll bring joy and put away that bondage of a sorrowful spirit, discouraged spirit. In Psalm 16, the full blessing of joy and prayer comes to you by spending time with the Savior. I think that's what God's jealous about. He wants his children to spend time with him. And it says in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When we're praying, we're in the presence of God. And he says there's fullness of joy there. I wonder if he's calling you back to his presence tonight. I mean, do you need to get back to a consistent prayer life? And that may be the key for you in overcoming that melancholy and that discouragement. We're studying what God says brings joy, and we need to know these things. Number four, joy comes as a result of witnessing to others. Yes, it does. In Acts chapter 8, and verse 8, it says, and there was great joy in that city. When was there joy in that city? It was when they heard the gospel and they received Christ as Savior. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Paul is writing to them. He had led them to the Lord. He had started that church in Philippi, and he calls them his joy. Why? He led them to Christ. Witnessing to others brings joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. He says, you who I've won to Christ, you're a joy. You are joy in the presence of Christ. This week, Kyle and Naomi came forward after the preaching to receive Christ. And that brought joy in heaven, the Bible says. It brought joy to them, and it brought joy to their families, and it brought joy in the church house. And that's the way it works. When we witness, we see Christ do a great work in somebody's life, it's time to rejoice. By the way, when they get baptized, I don't know if you could remember, but I would like to know when they follow through in believer's baptism. Psalm 126 says that when we go and we sow, we will reap and return and rejoice. Rejoice, don't forget. When we go and sow, we'll reap, return, and rejoice. A challenge again. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? You can do this. I encourage you to do it. When was the last time you wept because you saw folks going to hell that you cared about? That's what the Bible teaches. Where's our burden? We're burdened for physical needs, financial needs, all kinds of needs. What about souls? We need to get that in the mix. It ought to be on top. Souls. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, if you've been sorrowful or discouraged, get somebody on your heart to pray for salvation. Why? Because if they get saved, you get an opportunity to witness to them, and they would get saved. You want to talk about fullness of joy. You're going to experience it right then. Some have bypassed this important source of joy, but God teaches us how to have joy. Don't bypass any of these. Use them all. All right? Turn to 2 John. Another important source of joy is fellowship and unity with other believers. Boy, just getting together like this ought to bring us great joy. I have a great drive to be with others of like precious faith, don't you? I want to be with God's people. And when I am, I have tremendous sense of joy. In 2 John 1 and verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. Our, mine and yours may be full. Amen. When we get together, we talk about the good things of God, don't we? Amen. I haven't heard anybody talk about the Super Bowl. I've heard a lot of people talking about a super Christ. Amen. Paul said that it brought joy for everyone when they came together. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. God wants us to have unity in the fellowship. Nothing I hate so much as disunity. I hate it when there's a scorner in the midst and stirs up a strife. We don't need strife. There's enough strife in the world. People don't need that. We need to be encouraging one another, edifying one another, and in unity to accomplish God's will through this local church. I trust you'll do that. And that's something that we need to work on. Something else. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke 10:17. There is also joy that comes from usefulness in Christ's service. 10:17. The 70 returned again with joy. They were out on a preaching mission. They came back. It's like you would go down to Mexico for a missions trip or something, and you come back and you're full of joy. They came back with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, they got carried away. Truth is, they got carried away, and Christ taught them that having their names in heaven was much more important than the devils being subject to them, and that's what ought to bring them joy. But there is a certain fulfilling joy in being used of God. Yes, there is. Everybody is busy for the Lord. And so the secret is that nearly everyone in the church is serving, and serving brings joy. If you're not serving, there's a source of joy that you've cut off that you need to put back together. Get involved in something. This is a working church. I exhort you to keep it up. Some of you need to get back to serving the Lord with some commitment. Recognize the joy God means for you to derive from serving. You go to the nursing home, joy. You have a bus route, or you take, they say they need a bus captain. You take it as a responsibility because you're carrying a burden for those kids. Those kids don't have a chance unless we give them the gospel. We get them to church under the sound of the gospel. And we love them and we show them the right way. And somebody needs to take that as a responsibility. And when you do, it's joy having a bus route. Shirley and I have had a bus route. I led our buses. We had 6 buses and a van. And she had over 120 one Sunday on her bus route. We had to take 2 buses to bring them all in. So we know what bus route is about, and I drove the bus. We need a bus driver, is that right? Boy, somebody could plug in to some joy here, and we ought to do that. Well, shouldn't look at it and say, oh man, I don't want any more responsibility. Wait a minute, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to say, I'll do it. I'll get my CDL, and I'll do it. You have prison ministry, maybe. Joy. You have nursery work, joy. You have cleaning the church, joy. An opportunity to serve. You work in the sound room, joy. You sing in the choir, joy. You sing special music, joy. And on with ministries in the church that bring joy because you're serving, you're volunteering. I encourage you, if you aren't volunteering right now for anything, get on board. And get some joy. I'll help you. Get you out of the doldrums. Members should find places of service in their churches. And so the service will bring you joy. The Bible says we also experience joy when we overcome our trials and challenges. I'm going to just read you the last 2 after this. But I want to give this one to you because it's short. Hebrews 12:2. Please look that up. Hebrews 12:2, we experience joy when we overcome our trials and our challenges. You remember this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus overcame and endured trials and suffering for the joy that was set before him. He was motivated, and there was joy at the other end of it. James chapter 1, verse 2 says it works for us. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So we learn from that. It's not joy when we give in to the temptation, no. But when we have to face the test of life, we count it joy, all joy, because now we have a chance to prove our love for the Savior. The trial comes. Listen, look at it like this. The Lord honored me to allow me this trial that I can show everybody that God is on the throne in my life. And count it all joy. We were tested in Wyoming when our motorhome We drove into Jackson Hole. Anybody here ever been to Jackson Hole? Okay, in Wyoming, it's where the Tetons are. And it's beautiful there. We just arrived. I had a meeting in Jackson Hole at a church there. And it was a weekend, so our transmission went out on the motorhome. That's not a good thing. It's a weekend. I couldn't get anybody. On Monday, I called three dealers. The third dealer said that our Allison transmission had what is called a limp mode, L-I-M-P, limp mode, and that if I would shut off the batteries, and we had two kill switches that I could do that, if I'd shut off the batteries for 10 minutes, it would reload the transmission. Okay. All right, I'm up to that. I shut off, waited 10 minutes, turned it back on, tried to pull it out on the highway. Sure enough, I had all of my gears again, and I had all the power, and we were back on the road, and it didn't cost me a dime. Amen. God answered prayer, and in our trials, we are able to have joy, and I had great joy after that trial. Last two now. I'll just tell you what they are. Another source of joy is seeing our children grow up to follow God. Boy, that's a great joy. Proverbs 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Again, in Proverbs 17:21, the opposite is true. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. So joy is involved in the raising of our children. And it's important how we raise our children. Raise them to trust Christ, to serve Christ. And just see Irene about that. That's what we talked about all day at lunch, raising kids. Anyway, I will tell you this. If your child currently is wayward, you have an adult child, maybe they're wayward, or a teenager and he's wayward, thank God that the last chapter hasn't been written. Listen, we are not of the sort that give up on our children. We are of the sort that pray and trust God to turn them around. And he is well able to design a miracle to turn them around. And so we pray and trust him. Even if it looks bleak, we do that. Pray and fast, if needs be, for your children. Final one, our prospects of the future. Amen. Another source of our joy. In Matthew 25:21, it says, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. There's joy ahead for every believer in Jesus Christ. You're not a believer in Christ, there's no joy ahead. But if you are, you have something to look forward to. John 16:22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. We're going to have joy one day. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, Paul wrote, so that I might finish my course with joy. Finish with joy. Maybe you've been blah in your emotions lately. Maybe your joy has been missing. Maybe you've had a sorrowful spirit of bondage. Maybe melancholy, just kind of blue. If you haven't, I'm not projecting it on you. But the psalmist did say, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Of course, that was when he had sinned too. I entreat you tonight that God has designed ways for us to get our joy back. It's very clear in the scriptures. Your salvation, just think about that. Learning the Bible brings fullness of joy. Prayer and seeing God answer brings fullness of joy. Witnessing and seeing somebody receive Christ brings joy. Fellowship and unity in the church brings joy. Service for Christ brings joy. Overcoming trials brings joy. Our children serving God brings joy. And our future is going to be just chock full of joy. What a prospect. Just think about that when you're lamenting what's going on, a situation that's challenging you. God can help us to have our joy back. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the saints of God here. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, I know these situations come up. I know, Lord, they hit me just like they hit everybody else. And I have to remember what you said about joy. And I have to get back to what brings joy. You gave us the prescription. Help us to follow it now. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed.